Tulsa. You know, in Eretz Yisrael today, it's can you get something in Eretz Yisrael that you can't get in America? I always ask that question. So go to the Svarim store. Wow, they have a lot of nice things there. Probably 95% of what I saw in the Svarim store, I can get in America. So I'm looking very hard to find something that I can bring back and I can say, ah, I got this in Eretz Yisrael and I cannot get this in America.
I'll tell you what.
It's not what, yeah?
Sidurim in Persian.
Sidurim in Persian. Okay, all right.
Sidurim in Persian.
All right, maybe that's interesting. Okay. I know my sister. She asked me to bring home for her a toothpaste. They have their special toothpaste that comes in these little funny containers. It's like a triangle. You know what I'm referring to? It's like Shabbos toothpaste.
Shabbos
toothpaste. You cannot get that in America. It comes in this. Okay, it's a liquid. It's a liquid. It's in the size of a triangle. And it has a spout. It's a funny shape. Does not exist in America. I don't know what it's called. My brother-in-law is crazy about this. He loves this. So every time I go to Eretz Yisrael, I brought back from 10 of these. 10 of these. I was afraid they would stop me in the airport. They put in the suitcase.
Toothpaste bomber.
I mean, they did stop me. They did. They searched all my luggage. They did stop me. They found food. They found an orange. They made me give my orange. And I had some.
They used the dog.
What?
They used the dog.
No. They searched me both going in and coming out. They opened them all the luggage and they found, what else did they find? They found, do I look a terrorist? Every checkpoint, both going and coming, they took me aside and they interrogated me. They interrogated me going and coming back more than all the other passengers. More than all the other passengers. And also, even at the checkpoints, they look at my passport, look down, like 20 times, up and down, look at the computer. What is going on here? There's no one else on the line. On the line that they spend so much time checking, interrogating. What do you got there on the computer about me? I mean, what does it say over there? So someone said to me, "You probably went Aeroflot. You probably went with Russian Airlines." So he says those they suspect that I have connections to Russia. I don't know.
Oh, collusion. Oh, okay.
No, who knows? I don't know.
They ask you what shul you daven in, and you daven in lots.
No,
of
they didn't ask me what shul I daven in. They asked me.
Who's the
rough? You just.
They used to ask. They asked you why you're coming. Why are you coming to Israel? Where are you staying? Who is this other person with you? And the basic questions. Questions. No, but they checked my they very careful with me, more so than I thought they were checking other people. I don't know. That's irrelevant. So I asked the question, what can you get in Israel you cannot get in America? So guess what I discovered? I was there outside Bir Yeshiva, it was Erev Chanukah, and there was someone there selling oil. I thought I saw it all. So here is something I took a picture because I was so intrigued by this. They were selling oil for Chanukah candles. So they have, I'll read you the jug. I took a picture, and they were selling a container of oil outside Mir Yeshiva, and here's what it says on the container. B'siyata d'shmaya, yitzur miyuchad, mibes habat shel ha-golan. Olive oil that is unique, that has come from the Golan. Shemen zayis tohar, kosis me'ula, bikvishas koro. Okay, now that means, I guess, pure olive oil,
cold pressed.
Shenase mipri hazayis lilo garinin. Olives that have no seeds. Have you heard such a thing before?
No, they take out the seeds because they don't want to crush the seeds in
them. Mipri hazayis lilo garinim, 100% tivi, natural. Lemahadrin lemahadrin. Bekashrus hamuhuderes shel habadats. Okay. Ho'edo hacharedis. Then it goes further. Shevim meshubach zehino, 100% al taharas. Now the word of Yakin is blocked. Lelo hagar in, without seeds. Ulelo sinu, no filtering. Ulechein tamo meshubach, its taste is pure, is excellent. It says tamo. I guess it's tam, whatever that means. Tamo meshubach. Lahafli uskuluy use usegul loisov habiri osios rabois. It's wondrous and it's segula.
Healthy.
It's very healthy. Okay, kach olu lihi. I don't know how to read this. Mishkoim liachas. I don't know what this means. Shemen zayis, shemen zen, shenase mipriat zayis lelo garinim lemahadrim and amahadrim b'mitzvah sner Chanukah. Okay, you say they're claiming that this is the best thing on my telephone. Kifi shenohagu maran hagoin Rabbi Yosef Shalom Eliashiv Zechusog in the Lenu, Lahalag Ner Chanukah b'shemen zeshu doimel de menorah, ayin b'pinine Chanukah perg zayin amud kuf mem he kuf mem zayin. So I didn't buy it, of course, but over here they claim that this oil is something that is unique. It's been crushed and has been prepared in a way that you cannot get anywhere else. I'm sure the price
is there in the market.
I'm sure the price
is there in the market. This kind of oil.
No, you can't get this in America. You cannot get this in America. And they were claiming that this oil is a special type of oil. It's mahadrim and a mahadrim for you to be mahadir in the midst of halakas ner shel Chanukah. I did not see anyone buy it. Like I can tell you that. I saw them trying to sell it, and people were curious. There, what are you selling over here that we don't already know about? And okay, so only in Israel. Only in Israel can you find these type of things. Yeah. Now let's go learn some halach. Let's discuss. Let's finish some loose ends from yesterday. Okay, Mitzvah Shabbos. Yesterday we discussed the zman of halachas neris Mitzvah Shabbos. Today let us discuss the issue of what do you do first at home? Do you first make havdalah or do you first light Chanukah candles? What do you do in the Beis HaKnesses? In the Beis HaKnesses, that most Jews today do not make havdalah in the Beis HaKnesses, but there are still a few holdouts. Well, they do indeed make Havdol in the Beis HaKnesses, and they light, of course, everyone lights Neirois in the Beis HaKnesses. If you go in Davin and Shul, will they make Havdol in the Beis HaKnesses? What do you do first? So the most common minig among us is to reverse the two. In the Beis HaKnesses, you first light Chanukah candles, and then you do Havdolah. At home, you first do Havdolah. So remember, at home, first you make Havdolah, and then you light Chanukah candles. The question is why? Why is there a reversal? A reversal? You have over here some kind of candles.
Rav Henkin,
special Chanukah candles. Oh, the order. What do you do? Yeah, what do you do? And what does he say 100%. To do? He says that you do. He's miscorrected. Am I correct? This is over here. Because there are different opinions. Not really so clear. So over here on the Rav Henkin, the luach is weekday Ma'ariv, Atochan Antanu Bialanisim, Chatzi Kadosh Vinoyam. Kaddish Eskaba, light Chanukah menorah in Shul, and then the Yitin Lecha Aleinu. Where is Havdalah? Where is Havdalah? Rav Henkin noted there are various opinions concerning the order of Havdalah and Chanukah menorah lighting in the home. His recommendation was to make Havdalah first, and then to light the Chanukah menorah. His reason was a practical one, intended for the benefit of someone who maintains Shabbos longer than the rest of the household. Such a person can make Havdalah with someone else lighting the Havdalah candle and holding it for him. When he's ready to light Chanukah lights, he may then do so immediately. So I have to think about that, what he means over there. We'll see in a moment. The basic meaning over here is that in the Beis HaKnesses, you light Chanukah candles, and then you do Havdalah at home. The order is reversed. The question is, why? What is the lumbus? What's the answer? And then this touches upon a lot, very interesting halakha concepts. So let's first discuss what we do at home. The basic approach is, we have a principle called Todir, V'she'enoi tadir, tadir koidem. You have in front of you two different mitzvahs, Havdalah and Ner Chanukah. What do you do normally every mitzvah Shabbos? Havdalah. Havdalah is tadir. Ner Chanukah is enoi tadir. And the rule is, tadir v'she'enoi tadir, tadir koidem. So now the question is, why don't we do the same thing in the Beis HaKnesses? So the answer is as follows. There are a few answers. Number one, let's first test the Lamdash answer. The rule of Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir is only when both mitzvos you have in front of you are the same. Meaning, they're both obligations. If you have in front of you a minhag and a mitzvah, then the rule of Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir does not apply. In the Beis HaKnesses, why do we light the Chanukah menorah? Is it at the halacha? You mechuyev to light the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses? Absolutely not. It's nothing more than a minhag. It's a minhag to be mefarsim the nes. and is in fact it's a very chiddush to make a bracha, Shema Malchus, to make a bracha in the Beis HaKnesses, that is a minig. It goes to show you the toikif of a minig. A minig is so powerful, you can even make a bracha when you do the minig. Chabad has the minig, they have the custom, they light Chanukah candles in the street. They have ceremonies with politicians, they have Chanukah, they light in the airport, they light on the highway, and when they do these things, they have a cherry picker and they actually make the bracha. That is a very controversial thing that they do. Okay, many poskim are not happy with this. This is their opinion. This is their shita. Obviously, the Rebbe obviously told them that's what they should do. It's perfect. What?
Where are they not happy?
It's for Yidden.
Where do you have a right? Where do you have permission to make a bracha if it's not in the home or not in the Beis HaKnesses? In Shulchan Aruch, the only place that you're allowed to make a bracha is in the home. Ner Ishu Beisai. And it's a chiddush. It's an awesome chiddush that you're allowed to make a bracha when you light the Chanukah candles in the Beis HaKnesses. But to light a Chanukah menorah in public, it's a very nice thing to do. And there's Pesumin Nisa. What? In the Beis, they light, that's the mitzvah Halakha Saneiros. That's the mitzvah Deraisa. This in the Torah. It says the Halakha three times in the Torah. What? Of course they made that, Chanukah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash has a different Beis HaKnesses. That's a different issue. I don't know. Let's discuss Halacha L'maaseh. The Zman is in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, there are two places where you make a bracha, at home and in the Beis HaKnesses. To go so far and to light a menorah in public, not in the Beis HaKnesses and not at home, for the purpose of Pesumei Nisa, is a wonderful thing to do. But are you allowed to go so far and make a bracha? So this is a very big dilemma. And obviously in Chabad it is their custom, yes, they make a bracha b'shem malchus, but you should be aware that if you're not from Chabad, you should not do this. What?
Yeah,
because there's a heard person, new word.
Halacha was written for Baal, no, the Mishnah Berurah was written for Baal Tshuva. The Mishnah Berurah was written for Yisayimim, the Mechafetz Chaim said, but Shulchan Aruch was written for the entire Klal Yisrael. There's the Mechabim, the Ramad, there's the Sfardim, and there is Ashkenazim, and in the Shulchan Aruch it only says to make a bracha in the Beis HaKnesses as a minog, or to make a bracha at home. To make a bracha in public is not a simple matter. This is a chiddush lahalacha, which by all means, the Lubavitch Rebbe was a Gadol Hadar, and this was his understanding of halacha. There's no question if you're from Chabad, you make a bracha. But if you're not from the community of Chabad, and you want to go make a ceremony, you want to go by your local politician and come to the Beis HaKnesses and light the menorah in public, at a public event, at some type of public event, it's not within the framework of halacha to do such a thing. Yeah.
Also, of course, you know, when they light it out in the open, a tremendous amount of people see it. But I'm not sure if that's what Pesumei Nisa is.
Why not?
Because the halacha says what Pesumei Nisa is, a half hour. It's a half hour.
Okay.
They give out latkes.
Regel Menashuk. That's it. You know, the Chumash don't say putting big advertisements in the papers.
All right. That's subject. Okay. You but also, look, you don't even make a bracha in the morning, in the Beis HaKnesses, when you light in the morning, which certainly is Pesumei Nisa. You come to Shulim Beis HaKnesses, the Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, you don't make a bracha. You only make a bracha in the Beis HaKnesses at night, because that's a Zman HaLacha for everyone else. Okay, so this is something which you should be aware of, that it's a beautiful thing to see a Ner Chanukah out in public, but to make a bracha, this is a very controversial thing. Another thing to be aware of, when you do even in the Beis HaKnesses, you have to have 10 people. Sometimes it's a problem that when one light, certainly Erev Shabbos, when the minigus light the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses before Mincha. And if you're in a small shul and you barely have 10 people for Mincha coming on time, and you want to get things moving and light the Chanukah candles before you begin Mincha, you have to be careful. There should be 10 people when you light in the Beis HaKnesses. Even my Maariv, I know where I daven last night, two nights in the Maariv. So, but they light the candles before Maariv. They light in the Beis HaKnesses before Maariv, and they davened at 9:30 was Maariv, and at 8:25 someone went to go light the candles, and there wasn't a minion. And he made the brachas. He made all three brachas without him, when there was no minion. I said to him afterwards, "What are you doing? You're not allowed to light the candles unless there is a minion, unless the Rav tells you otherwise. As far as I know, you cannot allow to light the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses unless you have 10 people. In at home, you don't need 10 people. You can light even if you're all alone. But when you're lighting in public, in the Beis HaKnesses, then you do make a bracha, but you need 10 people. If you're lighting out in the street on a cherry picker for a public event, if you're not part of the Chabad community, then you should not make a bracha. Okay, now let's go back to Tadur. Let's go back. Tadur, Vishayna, Tadur. Let's go back. the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses. What is the meaning of the Beis HaKnesses? What do you do first? You first you light the Chanukah candles, and then you make Havdalah. Why? Why do you reverse the order in the Beis HaKnesses? Why don't we apply the principle of Tadir v'Sheein Tadir Kodem? And the answer is because, like I told you, the only time you do Tadir is both of these two items are the same exact obligation. If one is a minug and one is an obligation, then the rule do not apply. Then you do whatever is chaviv. And since the lining of the menorah is, the Rambam says, the mitzvah chaviva me'oid, it's chaviv, then you can do the lining of the menorah Chanukah candle, which is presume nisa, before you make havdalah. Because in the Beis HaKnesses, it's not halacha, it's only a minuk. Havdalah is halacha. Memela, then we make havdalah Beis HaKnesses, it means you mean yoytze people who need to hear havdalah. We're talking about halacha, people who need to hear yoytze havdalah, you make havdalah for them. So it's a minug and a halacha. The rules of tadir do not apply, therefore you do presume nisa is odif. And also the fact that lighting Chanukah candles is a mitzvah chaviva. At home, you have an obligation to light Chanukah candles. You have an obligation to make Havdalah. So both of them are in the same category of halacha. That's where we apply the principle of tadir, v'sheinu tadir, tadir kodem. That's the basis. Now, where do you have another example of this concept? Let's go to laying the Megillah on the Shalosh Regalim. On Pesach, we lay in Shirah Shirim. On Sukkot, we lay in Koheles. On Shavuos, we lay in Rus. When do we lay in the Megillah? Before Kriyas HaTorah or after Kriyas HaTorah? Before Kriyas HaTorah. So let me answer the basic question. On Purim, Purim Day, what do you lay in first? Kriyas HaTorah or do you lay in the Megillah? You lay in Kriyas HaTorah first. So the question is, why is there reversal? Why on Purim do we lay in the Torah first and then do Kriyas then the Megillah? Whereas on the Shalosh Regalim we first lay in the Megillahs and then we have Kriyas HaTorah. What is the answer? The same exact answer. On Purim, do you have an obligation to lay in the Megillah?
Yes.
Absolutely. Do you make a bracha? Absolutely. On the Shalosh Regalim, do you have an obligation to lay in the Megillahs? Absolutely not. No obligation. And that's why most of us do not make a bracha when we lay in the Megillah, even if we have a klaf. It's only minugrah, minugrah, shalom, you make a bracha, and that's also a bracha that you make for a minuk. So it's only a minuk. So since on the Shalosh Regalim, the laying of the Megillah is only a minuk, so therefore one is a minuk and the Kriyas HaTorah is a halacha, the principle of Tadir v'she'en Tadir does not apply. Therefore we do the minuk first, because the minuk is chaviv. But on Purim, where Purim, it's a halacha, you have to lay in the Megillah, and it's a halacha, you have to do Kriyas HaTorah, so both are on the same category of halacha. Here we apply the principle of Tadir v'sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem, we first lay in the Torah, and then we lay in the Megillah. Period. Then there's another reason why we light at home, we light Havdalah, we do Havdalah first, and that's because you can't make the bracha Borei Me'orei Ho'esh anymore. Once you're lighting the Shamos, and you're using the Shamos to light the Ner Shel Chanukah, you already have had benefit from R. You have already actively derived benefit from the R. Thus, if you've derived benefit from the R, it's too late to make the bracha on the Eish, Boirei Me'oirei Ho'esh.
Mitzvah is lav
lehanes nidnu. Even though that's true, but you've still derived a degree of benefit. You needed the Shamos as a hechsher mitzvah, you lit the Shamos and you used the Shamos in order to light, even before, but stam, you went and you were neneh from the or of the or. So therefore, it's not the igra. It doesn't matter. But the fact, although, is that since you lit the ner, you used the or in order to time the mitzvah, there is a degree, of course, this is not ma'akev, there is a degree of deriving benefit from R. Now, when you're going to come to Havdalah, you're going to make Borei Me'orei Ho'esh, it's part of the Seder Havdalah, and when you, it's not the Idne. You already had a significant active benefit. One thing, you know, you come home at night, it's, you know, there's light. There's light in the street, there's light in the shul, there's light at home. Wherever you turn, you're benefiting, you're having benefit from light. When Shabbos is over, you may not make Havdalah until an hour later, after Shabbos is over, and in the meantime, you've had benefit from light. You can't avoid that. But you have to also understand that that type of benefit is indirect. You're not actively lighting a fire and using the fire that you light to mekayim a mitzvah. Here, when it's Mitzvah Shabbos, you're actively lighting a fire, kindling a fire, and you're using the fire to light the mekayim a mitzvah. You're having a very active, direct benefit from or. So now you've already used up your opportunity. You're supposed to make the bracha borei me'orei ho'esh on the first time you actively engage in creating a fire.
yes? Shabbos, you're allowed to turn on the gas before you make a regular Shabbos. You're allowed to turn on the gas for to cook something before you make Abdullah. You're having there's fire there. You're having an oven.
I hear what you're saying. So you hear you actually you don't turn on the light. But let's see, call it start.
It's fire.
It's fire. I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer. The minhag is to make. The minhag is to make. We're not so machmir on this. It's obviously.
Yes. You're using the candles that your wife made the bracha on.
And then you're making borei me'orei ho'ei. So there's a delay. You're saying that there's a delay from the time that you actively. Well, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Okay, it's not a very solid svar, obviously. In those situations, you know, you don't have a choice. You know, it's sometimes you don't have. But over here, when you have a choice, you have in front of you two different mitzvahs. I have over here a question: what should I do first? Should I light the Chanukah candles or should I make havdalah? And here, if I'm going to light the Chanukah candles, the whole essence of lighting Chanukah candles is to use borei me'orei ho'eish, is to go make benefit from fire. So now, after I finish lighting the Chanukah, I want to go back and I go make borei me'orei. It's already too late. You've already used the opportunity. It's not necessarily the best. That's why the minhag is, we first make Havdalah, and then we light Chanukah candles. In the Beis HaKnesses, it's for the whole shul. Since we're only one person is lighting the candles for the entire shul, he's lighting the Chanukah candles, it's not you doing it. Therefore, persume nisa adif. We generally have a general rule that when it comes to matters of persume nisa, we like to do that first, as long as there is no collateral damage. So in the Beis HaKnesses, only one person is lighting the candles, and the whole shul is benefiting from persume nisa. That's why it's not such an issue. That's why it's better that we should first light the Chanukah candles. There should be persume nisa, and then afterwards in the Beis HaKnesses we do havdalah. At home there's less persume nisa. It's only for yourself, and also you yourself, the one that's going to be fast in the nes, is the one that's going to be nene from the fire by lighting the fire to prepare for the lighting the Chanukah candles. So therefore, it's better that you should first make havdalah and make the bracha borei me'orei ho'eish. So and then proceed from there to go and light your Chanukah candles. Now there's another approach. I'm running out of time. There's another approach.
You're that talking some without permission. I'm talking and I'm giving. I want to talk. It's a question. People are talking to you without any permission.
I'm sorry. What's your question? You're right.
You say in the Sefarad Shul they say Abdullah Musa Shabbat. Everybody have Kavanah, it can be your say.
Okay, that's yes. Right. That's what
I, yeah, I want to say if someone not possible for him to do Babayit and at home, he can have Kavanah for the lighting of candle in the shul to be your say.
No, you cannot. You cannot be Yotze with the Chanukah candles in shul. You cannot. If a person does not have at home his own Chanukah menorah, you cannot be Yotze with the candles in the Beis HaKnesses. And the candles in the Beis HaKnesses is a minhag, persume nisa, for the shul. It's not a fulfillment of your personal obligation. That's a very important halacha. People should not make that mistake.
Abdullah is not.
He's saying it's a very good point. People can make this mistake very easily because there are many people, singles, especially people who are single, and the Beis HaKnesses, when they make Havdalah, they come up to the front, and this is their Havdalah. They're Yoytze with the Havdalah, the Beis HaKnesses. So they can very easily be misled to believe that the same way the Yoytze with the Havdalah, the Yoytze with the lighting of the Chanukah candles in the Beis HaKnesses. That is incorrect. The Chanukah candles, the private mitzvah, ner ishu, basically you have to light your own candles. You cannot be yoytze with the candle lighting of what is taking place in the shul. Even though Havdalah, you can. Okay, there's another interesting halacha. Now, there are some gedolim, I think he brings this down from, one of the gedolim, I don't remember who he brings it down from, is that they really felt that the persume nisa is odif. There are many, this is a very controversial question. What should we do? Should you light the Chanukah candles first, or should you make Havdalah first? By all, the minhag among us here in America, a minhag among Ashkenazim, and the Poskim say, if you do not have a set minhag, you should make Havdalah first. However, there are many people who have the minhag to light Chanukah candles first, because persume nisa odif. Persume nisa, a very significant event. Furthermore, the Ikar Zman, we discussed this yesterday, many people hold that the Ikar Zman of lighting Chanukah candles in the Tzoy Shabbos is no different than the Zman of lighting Chanukah candles during the week. And the Ikar Zman of the Chanukah candles is as soon as it gets dark. So you should light the candles as quickly, as soon as possible, in order that you should be lighting as close to the proper zman as you possibly can. Every single minute makes a difference. The ikar zman lighting of candles is after sunset. Whether you hold 20 minutes after sunset, 40 minutes after sunset, 45 minutes after sunset, but it should be done as soon as possible. When you're coming home from shul, you are already past the zman, it's late. Don't delay. Light the Chanukah candles as soon as you possibly can in order to make it near or closer to the ikar zman of Halakas Neros. Therefore, if you're going to make Havdalah, there's going to be a very big delay. So many Paiskim said, when you combine these two factors together, presuming Nisa is a very powerful concept, plus the zman is as early as possible, you should light Chanukah candles before you make Havdalah. But on the other hand, we went through the other ideas of Tadir Vishaeda, Tadir Kaidem. And the issue also that you cannot make the bracha Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. It's going to be too late to make Borei Me'orei Ha'esh if you first light Chanukah candles. Another issue, obviously, is that you should not do a malacha, a significant malacha, until you do Havdalah. Think about that. Over here, lighting Chanukah candles, is Shabbos over? So you said, of course Shabbos is over. I said in the brach of Atochan Antanu, I said already Atochan Antanu. I already said Baruch HaMad L'Bein Kodesh Tuchol. Okay, that is correct. You're allowed to do Malacha, but not L'Chatchila. Just because you said Baruch HaMad L'Bein Kodesh Tuchol, there is a residual degree of Kedusha Shabbos that lingers until you make Havdalah Al HaKois. So if you're going to light your Chanukah candles, you're being Mechal Shabbos. You mean Chal Shabbos? Oh, it's not really Chal Shabbos because I did say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. Okay, but it's still not a L'chatchila. L'chatchila, you should make Havdalah Al HaKois, and Shabbos is now completely over, and now we have begun Yom Rishon, and now you'll do the mitzvah of Halakas Ner Shel Chanukah. So you see over here, there's a very, very big conflict. We have a very big conflict. There's no solution. Our minhag is to do Havdalah first, but there's a conflict because Pirsumei Nisa Odif, and we want to light as soon as possible. So there was a very interesting eitzah, one of the Gedolim, maybe it was Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, maybe it was Rav Yashiv, he insisted that the Chanukah menorah should already be set up on his front door. In other words, he davened Ma'ariv, and he instructed one of his family members who davened Ma'ariv quicker, faster, or davened Ma'ariv earlier, that he should go home to the house and very quickly arrange the Chanukah menorah at his front door, in the left side, with the neros all ready to go and the shamas lit. And thus, when he would walk in, pass into his door, it would be Ein Ma'avirin al Hamitzvahs. Isn't that brilliant? So no, therefore, you're adding another factor. What?
Absolutely brilliant. Because so you're lighting it
outside. So therefore, in addition, so put aside Tadir, Vishayna Tadir, and put aside, you have to say, make Havdalah, there shouldn't be a residual degree of Shabbos. There's another element which you cannot ignore. Ein ma'avirin al hamitzvahs. In order to get to my Havdalah, I have to pass through the front door. And what's out the front door? The Chanukah menorah is all ready to go. All systems go. Oh, ein ma'avirin al hamitzvahs. So now you chop around, you're lighting the menorah. It's early in the early zman. And presume nisa, you chop around when you machazek the mitzvah by adding another element of ein ma'avirin al hamitzvahs.
Okay, I want to say also the reason that maybe in the shul we are going to light Chanukah,
yes,
and after that the Havdalah, to be prepared with the Chanukah more. After Havdalah, if say Havdalah first, people on rush.
Run away.
They want to leave.
They want to leave.
And the lights are alone.
Pursue Menisa. Pursue Menisa is a very important thing. That is correct. That's correct. Okay, one more halacha, I'm going to stop. And then we'll do some agada. Very important halacha. Al Hanisim. I want to talk about this idea. There's another controversy in halacha. Al Hanisim. We recite Al Hanisim where, before we say the word V'al Kulam, we recite Modim. And we conclude Modim Kilo Samu Kilo Cholu Rachadam Vamachem Kilo Samu Chasodecha Ve'olam Kivinu Lach. And now we begin the Al Hanisim, the Al Hapurkan, and we enter into Bimei Matis Yohu. Then after we conclude Al Hanisim, what do we say? The Al Kulam Yisparach V'Yishamam Shimcha Malkeinu Tamid Li'olam Vo'ed. What happens if you forget to say Al Hanisim? So most people follow this halacha, which I want to point out is not so simple. They continue to say, let's say they said modim, and they come to the al kulam yisparach v'yishamam shimcha machit hamil yilom moed v'chol hachayim yeducha salo v'halu ha-shimcha be'emes Hokel Yeshua Seinu Ve'ezra Seinu Sela. So many of the pamphlets that I've seen circulating, they tell you that if you say the word Hokel, which is Hashem's name, you've already crossed the red line. Okay, beyond the point of return. You've already said Hashem's name. Now if you were to go back and recite the Al Hanisim, you would be required to repeat again the Al Kulam and repeat the Chol HaChayim and say Hashem's name all over again, which is not proper. You can now repeat Hashem's name Levatala. Therefore, once you say the word Hokel, you've crossed the red line, it's too little, too late. What should you do? Continue. Yeshua Seinu V'Ezra Seinu Sela Baruch Atu Hashem HaToiv Shimcho L'Chonu El HaDais. And then when you come to L'Kai Nitzar, before you recite Yehi L'Ratzon Imreifi V'Hegel Bi L'Fonecha, before you say Yehi L'Ratzon, you then begin to say the Al HaNisim. That is what I've seen in all the pamphlets. That's what is the common minhag, and so be it. That's probably what we should all should do. However, you should be aware that the vast majority of poskim can disagree with that, and they hold the only time Hashem's name is ma'akev, only time Hashem's name is a red line that you can no longer cross, is when you say Baruch Ata Hashem. When you say, so if you would come to the phone, you would say Baruch Ata Hashem Atoiv Shimcha Ulechano El Lahoidais. That is the chasima of the bracha. It's too little, too late, and there's nothing more that you can do. And then indeed you would say Al Hanisim before you say Yehiyu L'Ratzon. But if you say Hokel Yeshua Seinu Ve'ezra Seinu Sela, it's no big deal. Whenever you say Hashem's name as part of a tefillah, of a bakasha, that's not levatala, and there is no harm done if you were to say it again. Therefore, me'ikar had been, according to most poskim, if you forget to say al hanisim, and you say v'chol hachayim yaduch hasala v'halu hashimcha b'mes, and you say hokel yeshua seinu v'ezra seinu sela, you said Hashem's name, that's saying Hashem's name is part of a bakasha, a tefillah to Hashem. That's nothing, there's no harm in saying that. Then you'll go back and you'll say the Al Hanisim, and you'll say it again. Saying Hashem's name multiple times as part of a Yehi Ratzon is okay. It's only when you say Hashem's name as part of the chasima of a bracha, which is problematic. And you have the same thing, the same exact dilemma, which again, what I told you there right now is not the common minhag. But if you do it, the world will not come to an end, I guarantee you. Because that's what it says in most of the poskim. The same thing is in the Zman Oget now, but you talk about saying, Bichamocha Av HaRachamim. Right? Bichamocha Av HaRachamim. When we say, oh, wait, it's Nanogea, then it's Nogea, what do we say on during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah at the end of Modim? We say V'al Kulam Yisparach V'Yisramam Shimcha Malkeinu Tamil Yolam Vo'ed Uchesoiv L'chayim Toivim Kol B'nei V'Risecha. What happens if you forget? So just go back. Until what point? V'chol HaChayim Yaduch HaSala V'Halalu HaShimcha B'mes. The same exact thing. Hokel Yeshua Seinu V'Ezra Seinu Sela. In most of the pamphlets that you're going to see, again, the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, they'll tell you that if you want, you say Hokel, it's too late to go back and say Uchesov L'Chayim Toivim Kol B'nei V'Risecha. But that's not necessarily correct. It's not necessarily correct, because as long as you're not saying the Chasim Baruch Ata Hashem, the Chasima, there is no harm done in saying Hashem's name. Every time you make a Yimei, you say Hirotzen, you say Hashem's name multiple times. And all of there is tefillahs, these sidurim, there are many tefillahs which are Hashem's name. There is no harm done in saying Hashem's name when you're saying Hashem's name as part of a bakasha. Okay, any other halacha I want to mention to you before we conclude? Do we want to do another halacha? Doing mulacha. Are you allowed to do mulacha when the neros are lit? When the candles are lit, are you allowed to do malacha? So the answer is yes. You can do malacha. The only one that has the meaning is nashim. There is a custom that nashim should not do malacha during a half an hour when the nerois are lit. Because nashim, in fact, they had a more significant role in the Hanukkah for two reasons. Number one, the entire war was sparked by a woman. By a woman, Yehudis, when the Hegmon wanted, the minhag was that when you get married, the Hegmon first had relations with the Kala. And Yehudis said, not me, not me. And she put up a fight, and that sparked the war. That's what sparked the war. So the war began with a woman, with a strong woman. Okay, a strong woman is what sparked the miracle of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is all about women. Because of a strong woman, the war began.
So men are allowed to do it?
What? So men are allowed. Men have less of a connection to Hanukkah than a woman. So therefore women are more makbid in Hanukkah, and therefore when the candles are lit, Nashim have a custom not to do malacha. What kind of malacha should they not do? So there are different opinions. Some hold only allowed to do Nashim that are miyuchid for women, which includes sewing, crocheting, anything that's related to stitching, and cleaning clothing. Cleaning clothing. So the question is, Bisman has that. What about cooking? No, cooking is permitted. Women are allowed to cook. Okay, that's not an excuse not to prepare the latkes. Okay, women are allowed to cook at the time when the Hanukkah candles are lit. There's no restrictions. Only doing the laundry, they can say to their husband, "You do the laundry. I cannot do laundry during the first half an hour." Some Paiskim say that Bizman has said that we have electrical machines, washing machines, just a matter of pushing a button. That's not what Chazal had in mind. And women are allowed to engage in washing clothing in the modern electrical or washer dryer that we have today. There is no issue either. And therefore, basically, there's really not, and women today, I don't see them sewing or knitting or crocheting. Maybe some do. So that would probably be the only thing which they should not do during that half an hour. Do Noshim have to, now, this is a very interesting concept. If Noshim are such a relationship to the mitzvah, do they have an obligation to recite Hallel? Men have an obligation. Ligmar Sahal, you don't find women who do not daven, the whole year, you don't find them being makbid to recite Hal. If Noshim have more of a connection to the mitzvah of Hanukkah than men, how come we do not find a hakpad that women should recite Halel on Hanukkah? It's a very good question. So someone said that Halel and Hanami, it's shaykh to tefillah. It's a tuffel to tefillah. And if you don't daven, Manela, you have no obligation. Some disagree and they say, Adaraba, that Noshim should be makbid to say Hallel on Chanukah. Even Noshim who do not daven the whole year round should be instructed to recite the Hallel from beginning to end. And if they don't want to recite the entire Hallel, they should at least recite one Mizmar. One Mizmar in Hallel, that is a chiv, a very significant obligation. L'chodos u'l'Hallel, Noshim are no different than men. Af hen hayu ba'is ha'nes. Yehudis was the one who killed the hangman, and it was Yehudis who was the strong woman who sparked the war, which brought about the miracle. Their obligation.
Those are two
in
different people, by the way.
What? Those different Yehudis. What? Okay, there's a lot of talk. It was a woman who sparked the war.
Should they make a bracha on that?
If they recite the whole Hallel, definitely. If they don't recite the entire Hallel, no. But they should recite one Mizmar. No, you do not need a minyan for Hallel. Absolutely not. If a man cannot make it to shul, you recite Hallel with a bracha without the minyan. You have to be very careful. You have to be very careful when you recite Hallel on Chanukah to say every single word. Chazal, all the Paiskim say this. Just like the Gemara says that the Megillah on Purim is Kriyasa Zuhilula. The reading of the Megillah is in the place of Hallel. And we all know that you makbid not to miss one word of the Megillah. If you miss one word of the Megillah, Lo Yatza. And Megillah is only a replacement, is an extension of Hallel. And thus, any day of the year for that matter, when you recite the Hallel Sholem, which includes the 8 days of Hanukkah, and the Shalosh Regalim besides the last 6 days of Pesach, when you recite Hallel Sholem, you have to be very, very careful not to slur the words, and not to miss a word. Every single word must be said clearly and slowly. When are you allowed to gobble it up? Rosh Chodesh. On the 6 days of Hanukkah, so then you can just brrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr no harm done if we swallow a few words here and there.
Do you have to say the bracha, or you can be yaitza with the chazan's bracha?
There are you should make your own bracha. Our custom is everyone makes their own bracha. On Rosh Chodesh, where it's only a minhag to say Hallel, there are kihilois where the custom is be mimayet in making the bracha, because it's not so simple. You should make a bracha for a minhag, and let only the shatz make the bracha, and everyone else will answer amen to that bracha. But when you recite the entire Hallel, I think everyone has the custom, every single person should say the bracha by himself. and be careful to say every single word. Okay, we'll take a very short break, and then we'll do some divrei agada on Chanukah.
Are you allowed to write a menorah and then move it?
No, you're not allowed to write a menorah because.